First, we're going to hit the road, one of America's most famous highways, Route 66. Lisa Mahar is an architect, and she's made many trips along Route 66. During those trips, Mahar took photographs of more than 1,000 motel signs. Many of these photos are in her book. It's called American Signs, Form and Meaning on Route 66. From the Museum of Television and Radio in New York City, Lisa Mahar told Ann Strainchamps about some of her favorite Route 66 motel signs.
My favorite early signs from the 1940s, I have two of them actually. One of them is, well, it's actually signed for a motel called the Vega Motel, and it's in Vega, Texas. And it's a really simple sign, kind of rectilinear shape with a little corner cut out of it. And it just says Vega Motel, really simple, beautiful hand-painted letters. Just a very simple sign, and it's attached to a nice simple motel in a tiny little town. And I just love it because it's so indicative of that time. It's very unpretentious, very simple, and just really fits into the landscape. Another one from that period that I like is the Boots Motel, which people who really love Route 66 will know this motel. It's incredible, perfectly restored 1930s motel with, you know, the curved corners, and the sign is perfectly integrated with that. It also has rounded corners, but it's also very simple. That's in Missouri. During the 1940s, signs really changed. They stopped being so simple with just kind of the name and the function listed on it, and they started to have more thematic messages in them, and you start to see more illustrations. Some of my favorite signs from that period are ones that have cowboys and horses, and I also like the ones that have cacti on them. And what's interesting about those is, well, the early ones had, for example, flora and fauna that were native to the area that the signs appeared in. You know, if prickly pear cacti were what you found in the area, that's what you saw on the sign. But by the early 1950s, when tourists were traveling much further distances, they were a little less familiar with what the local flora was, and instead they wanted to see images of things that were more iconic. So you start to see signs with beautiful saguaro cacti on them, which are very iconic in terms of Western symbols, but they really weren't native to any area along Route 66.
I think there's a whole generation of us who may have seen the West for the first time on a car trip with parents or grandparents or something, and those motel signs, you know, for, oh, I don't know, signs with lassos on them or signs with Indian chief headdresses on the top, those just somehow bespeak a whole era of a kind of innocent approach to the West.
It really was an innocence, because not only did those symbols not really exist there, if you think, for example, the example that you used of Indian headdresses, the Indians in the Southwest didn't wear headdresses. Those were Plains Indian symbols. So there was this whole dumbing down kind of the true cultural symbols of the area.
We haven't even talked about neon signs, but there's one in particular I wanted to ask you about. There's a photograph in your book, it's a big full-page spread, a photo of a sign for the Palomino Motel. This is a really beautiful photograph. I mean, you should describe it.
Oh, thanks. I happen to love this picture, too. That picture, it's a full-color picture taken at dusk of the Palomino Hotel, which is in Tucumcari, New Mexico. And it happens to be right next to the Blue Swallow Motel, which is one of the most well-known motels on Route 66. So it's just a beautiful stretch of Route 66 right there, especially at sunset. One of the things that I really love about this particular sign is that it truly shows its history. Although it was obviously built during the 1950s, and you can tell this because it has a very irregular, funky, curved sign box, and it has lots of flashing lights, the name Palomino itself is a vestige of earlier signs, the themed signs that were more popular during the 1940s. And I've actually seen postcards of this sign from much earlier, so I happen to know the progression of this sign. So it's nice because it clearly shows its history in the sign. Its name is from the 1940s. Even the way the type is written, even though it's outlined in flashy, colorful neon, the letters are all caps, and they're relatively simple. They're not the crazy script letters that you see on some of the 50s signs. And it also has a figurative illustration of a horse that sits right on the top of the sign, but it's beautifully illustrated. It's very figurative. There's no abstraction there. And abstract images are more common on 50s signs. So it really has just a little bit from every era in it. And that's one of the things that I love the most about it.
Well, it also sort of says something, makes one of your messages about motels, I think, in that the sign is huge And the letters are outlined in this beautiful, glowing pink neon that just really stands out against the blue, sort of dark, dusky sky. And next to it, the motel is tiny. You know, it's like the sign is bigger than the motel.
It's true. And also, the motel is so close to the street, which is also something that's interesting. So you get this huge sign right next to this tiny motel, and it just has a really interesting presence on the street. But the other interesting thing about these neon signs was that at night they looked very different than they did during the day. And at the time, people thought that was really great. But by the 1960s, when chains started to come about, it started to be a problem, because when you're trying to create a really consistent brand image, you don't want your sign to look different during the day and during the night. So while it was something that was very expressive and original during the 1950s, by the 1960s, it was really problematic.
It sounds as though you think originality in motel signs began to decline after the 50s.
It did, and I actually don't think, this is going to sound kind of strange, but I don't think originality was actually such a great quality for the sign-making tradition. What happened is, during the early, say, 1930s and 40s, signs were very traditional in the sense that they had certain aspects of the sign, such as the way the sign box was formed, or the kind of colors that were used, or the way type was painted, that were similar. But really, each sign was really unique. Tradition guided the process, but it didn't squelch the creativity of the sign maker. But there was this amazing understanding of tradition that made the signs fit in well with the towns and the environments that they were in. The sign makers lived in the towns they built in, so they had this personal responsibility to make signs that fit into their communities and that people really understood. By the 1950s, it was the beginning of the end for sign making tradition. Although you have these really beautiful signs and they're very expressive, they were really not a part of the sign making tradition. Motel owners were asking sign makers to make really original compositions, and sign makers basically had to throw away everything they knew. They had to throw away their history to do this. And it was really stressful for them. And the way they dealt with it was kind of interesting. What they did is they just did the opposite of everything they did before. So if a traditional sign was rectilinear, they made a sign that was curvilinear. If a traditional sign was symmetrical, they would make one that was asymmetrical. So they just did the opposite. But even that wasn't enough for most motel owners. And by the end of the 1950s, motel owners were going to other types of designers, especially industrial designers and graphic designers, who were better able to bring fresh ideas to the industry.
Do you personally have any favorite motel signs?
I do, and this is going to be surprising to just about everyone, but I actually really grew to love the signs of the 60s and 70s, the really simple, generic plastic signs.
Those are so ugly. They're the ugliest pictures in your book. They're those signs that are on that kind of white background that looks corrugated.
Exactly. It's like Exactly. And the reason why, I'll tell you why I like them so much. I think because it was just so unexpected that I would. I think it's so natural for everyone to look at them and say, oh, I hate these signs. They feel like they don't fit into the landscape. But the truth is, when you really look at them with an analytical eye, they are the most traditional signs in the book. If you look at them geometrically, they have beautiful proportions. They're usually like a 1-to-2 proportion, two squares wide, that are exactly the same as the early signs of the 30s and 40s. They have really simple letters, like I said, that are prefabricated but almost exactly replicate the early signs of the 30s and 40s. So it was more, I think what I like about them is just that I expected not to like them and that my knowledge about them has given me kind of a new perspective on them. And in a way, liking them just proves a point, that there are these things around us that may seem ugly, but when you really learn more about why they are the way they can become beautiful in a strange way.
Lisa Mahar is an architect and the author of American Signs, Form and Meaning on Route 66. The book also features photos by Mahar. She spoke with Anne Strainchance from the Museum of Television and Radio in New York City.